Morning.
Morning.
Whoa, is that too loud? Am I too loud for everybody? Okay. You're used to Kenny, so I know he's loud. All right. Man, I am so pumped to be with you guys. And I was thinking back, I met Kenny Rager my freshman year of college. We were actually college roommates. And I tell you what, dude, when I first met Kenny, it kind of freaked me out a little bit, right? Because, I mean, if you know Kenny, he may not wear Hawaiian shirts now, but he was wearing Hawaiian shirts. I walk in the room, and there's, like, Star Wars figures everywhere. And this dude just walks up, hello, how are you? And it's like, whoa, hold up, dude. But, and we've been through some crazy times together. My wife and I and Kenny and Taryn are all friends. But I tell you what, man, we've made a lot of stupid decisions. And I'm afraid if I share too many stories about Kenny that it's going to come back to bite me because I know that he likes payback. So I'll stay away from that. But I'll tell you, man, you guys have a great pastor. I mean, talk about somebody that is genuine and real and about reaching people for Jesus. That's Kenny Rager. And I pray for you guys, man. I hear about all the cool stuff that God's doing in your church and the way that he's working in your lives. It's just so awesome, man. I mean, it just leaves you in awe of God. Like we were singing that song, how marvelous, how wonderful. Like if I had known how good God was earlier, I mean, it's just crazy how good God is. And I feel like sometimes when we come to church, we feel like we have to put up this huge front, right? You have to put on your church face and smile, and you may have been arguing in the car, and you've had a horrible week at work. But when you come to church, you know, you've been yelling at your kids and screaming at each other, and you're ticked off at your spouse. But when you come to church, you're like, hey, how you doing? I'm great. How are you? And everybody's always happy at church, and you have the church face. I'll tell you guys today, man, we can be real with God. You know what's so cool about Jesus Christ is that he knows that we're all screwed up. So we can't fool him anyway, right? He knows about everything we do wrong when we're by ourselves, what's happening in our week. He knows about everything that goes on in our lives, and he loves us anyway. And I tell you what, man, that sets me free to just be me. And it sets you free to just be you. You don't have to put up a front. You don't have to act like something you're not. We don't have to act like these perfect religious people that have everything all together. We can just be real with God. And so I'd ask you guys today, just be real. God loves you regardless. So we can just be real. We can be ourselves. And we're going to be looking today in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, if you got your Bibles. And we're looking at verses 13 through 16. If you got Bibles, smartphones, whatever you got, it all works. And when you got it, say, I got it. All right. You guys can feel free to talk to me. It'll work. All right, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And this is what it says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Today, we're going to talk about living a life that makes people thirsty for Jesus. And when we look at this passage, you know, we use salt every day, right? It's on our food and stuff like that. But we got to understand during this time period how valuable salt really was. It's crazy when I was reading through, just doing some study before, that they said that salt actually had like 10 different ways that it was used during this time period. So it wasn't just a seasoning for food. There were all kinds of ways that it was used. And the Greek word for salt is halas. I'm probably butchering that, but that's what it said. But it was used as a catalyst for fire. It could be used as an antiseptic. It was used as a fertilizer. It was used to, as basically to keep meat good, to preserve things. because they didn't have the refrigeration that we have today. And it was even used as payment, like for soldiers when they would get a day's wage, they would get paid in salt. So it was really valuable. Like, so when people heard the word salt, it kind of stood out because it was something that was good, right? It brought about good things. It was beneficial. And there's something very evident that we learn from this passage, and we have to really grasp it here when we're reading the scripture. And that is, it's impossible to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and it not change the way that you live your life. Salt tastes like salt, right? I mean, when you taste salt, you don't think, oh, that tastes exactly like sugar, right? I mean, it's salt. It doesn't taste like sugar. If you've tasted salt, you know the difference. It's distinct. It's either salt or it's not. And it makes things taste better. It's full of goodness in the ways that it was used in this passage. And I think sometimes it's very easy for us to get stuck in a routine, right? Like, we go to church Sunday after Sunday. We go to small group. We do these things. We go through the motions. And, you know, we can get stuck in this religious outward expression where, like I said earlier, we put this great face on. We act like it's all together. But the truth of the matter is that religion and good works, doing all this good stuff without a relationship with Jesus Christ, won't get you anywhere. I've met some of the nicest people in the world that didn't have anything to do with Jesus. You know, and if you try to just live your life just to be a good person, just to do all these good works, and you never have an encounter with Jesus, what's going to happen is it's going to suck your joy away. And if your Christianity comes to the point that it's just a list of rights and wrongs and just doing more good than I do bad, you're going to become a self-righteous, bitter, boring, religious person. And Jesus doesn't want you to live like that. Jesus wants to set us free from our dead, cold religion. And he wants to bring life. Life, community church. There's a reason there's a life there. It's not a place of death and boredom and religious people. It's people that have been set free by the grace of God. And God is using to send out. And if you live your life, like I said, in that way, it's going to suck your joy away. It's going to make you feel like God constantly owes you something for the good works that you're doing. Or you're going to feel like you're never good enough. You can never match up to what God has for you. And you don't have to live that way. Jesus wants to set you free from that bondage and empower you to truly live a life through relationship with him. And in this instance, Jesus is teaching his followers, and he's been teaching all these things about those who will be blessed. And he makes a very strong claim when you read this here. Notice this. I'll just read it again. You are the salt of the world. Or, I'm sorry. You are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you might be the salt of the earth. You could be the salt of the earth. If you try really hard, you're going to be the salt of the earth. What Jesus is saying, no. Jesus says, you will be the salt of the earth. That's part of your identity. And what that means is, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, there's been a time in your life when you've chosen to place your faith and trust in him. It's going to completely and totally revolutionize the way that you live your life. So we can't just have a Sunday religion. People had enough of that. I'm talking about a relationship with God that goes into every area of your life and transforms you from the inside out. Today we're going to be talking about, you know, salt. It was a seasoning that brought the flavor out in a bland, tasteless food, and it is. And what Jesus is saying here is when you come follow me, the goodness of God is going to flow out of every part of your life. And people are going to notice a difference between you and the world. It's going to be distinct. This is what's going to happen in your life. It's not going to be something that you work for or earn. It's not going to be something that you achieve and get to the status. It's going to happen because Jesus Christ has transformed you. You've been transformed by the grace of God. And Jesus is coming into your life and the Holy Spirit's working through you to empower you to go out and do things that you never imagined. And the Bible is very clear about the fact that when you place your faith and trust in Christ, something new happens, right? I mean, we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things have now become new. In John 13:35, it says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. In Galatians 5:22, 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Anybody done the Bible school song? If you've done the Bible school song, you know that. But, I mean, those are things that are evident in the life of a Christian, right? That will be marked by our love for people. That will be marked by the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That we'll have peace, that we'll have patience, that we'll have kindness, gentleness, that we'll have self-control, that there'll be something different about us than the world around us. And when you see somebody that's living their life for Jesus Christ, it's evident, right? Because there's a distinct difference between them and everyone else. And that's the way that our lives should be, that we should stand out. You see, when you choose to follow Jesus, you go out to a bland, tasteless world that is full of hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, pain, suffering, brokenness, no hope. And you're going to be a good flavor to those that you encounter. That your life is going to stand out. And they're going to look at you and say, wow. Wow, what is different about them? You're going to start forgiving people that have wronged you. When you start to follow Jesus, you're going to carry His peace even through situations that seem hopeless. When you start following Jesus, you're going to start loving your neighbors and looking for ways to serve them. And when you start following Jesus, you're going to want to share Him with other people, right? Because Jesus has transformed your life. And when Jesus transforms your life and His love comes over you and His grace comes over you and the Holy Spirit lives inside your life, then you're going to start loving people that really, you know, in all of their terms, maybe they don't deserve to be loved. Maybe they're rude. Maybe they're, you know, mean to you. Maybe they've wronged you in the past. And God is just going to overcome your life when you start walking with Jesus Christ. And He's going to cause you to love people that you didn't even know that you could love. Because we serve a God that loves people that don't deserve it. And it's going to change the way that you live your life. And I tell you what, man, the joy of Jesus Christ that I found through Jesus, I didn't find that anywhere else in the world. I looked for it everywhere else. I looked for it, you know, in popularity. I looked for it in girls. I looked for it in sports. I looked for it in all these different areas of my life. And I couldn't find anything that would meet the need that I had in my life until I found Jesus Christ. And I tell you, just if you haven't experienced Jesus today, He's good. And He loves you. I tell you, today is the day of salvation, that God loves you, He cares about you, and He wants a relationship with you. And when the world sees people walking like that, they're going to start wanting what you have because it's good and it's real. I've got a 2-year-old son, and I've seen some of the kids around here. You guys got a lot of cute kids here. My 2-year-old son, Jude, he is into everything, right? I mean, his personality is really coming out right now. So he's running all over the house. He started talking up a storm. And he's even gotten to the point where he actually, like, pulls pranks. Like, he thinks it's funny. He's already picking it up. He got it from his mom. You know, so that she's always pulling pranks and trying to pull tricks. So, like, I was even, I can give you an example. Like, I decided the other day that I was going to take his pillow and kind of mess with him. We're playing, and he's got this pillow that he carries around, and he's always holding on to it. I thought I was going to mess with him, right, and take his pillow. And I had it sitting out on the floor, and I kind of closed my eyes, and I looked, and he was, like, creeping up on me, right? So I opened my eyes, and I closed them again. Then all of a sudden, I got this sock in my face, and he's on the ground laughing, clapping, because he knows that he got me. He got Dad. But it's so cool. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing like being a father, I can say that, man. It completely changes your view of love, like marriage did too. I mean, it's just amazing how much you love your kids. And one thing that I found, even at a young age, is that Jude has found out that he can kind of say things to get what he wants. You know, he kind of, even if it's not really the way that things are, like, for instance, we go to the playground and, you know, sometimes maybe he has a dirty diaper and we need to stop playing. If we ask him if he's got a dirty diaper, he's going to say, no. And then he just keeps running the slide. Or if it's about bedtime, you know, it's time to go to sleep, we ask him if he's tired and he's been yawning and rubbing his eyes. He's like, no, I'm not tired. But the truth of the matter is, if he's got a dirty diaper, we're all going to suffer until it's changed, right? So we need to change the dirty diaper. And if he's tired and he doesn't rest, he's going to be miserable. So sometimes you just have to face the facts. Like, sometimes it feels really good to say things to make ourselves feel better, but sometimes we got to come face to face with the truth. And we need the truth in our lives, right? And when we come face to face with the truth and really look at the way that things are, it sets us free. And the Bible's clear about that the truth will set you free. And the truth of the matter is, in this passage, Jesus makes us come face to face with a reality that we have to take notice of. And that reality is that saltless Christianity doesn't exist. It does not exist. I mean, Jesus says it here clearly, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And you know, man, I don't know about you guys, but I was really hurt by the church. Is anybody, I mean, you don't have to raise your hands, but I would say if you've been in church, there have been people that have hurt you, right? Because there's lots of screwed up people everywhere. There's people, I mean, Christians are people. The church is full of messed up people. We're all messed up, right? Everybody agree with me there? That we're all messed up? We can be honest about that. But I grew up in a church that was just dead. I mean, just calling it like it is, it was dead. And I see these people that would come to church on Sundays, and they're all like, you know, very proper and act like they all have it all together. But then you see the same people out the rest of the week, and they were just rude. You know, the love of God was not in them. They were unforgiving. They were hateful. And it just ticked me off. I mean, I didn't want anything to do with church people because I saw the way that they lived their lives one day and the way that they lived their lives the rest of the week. And when it got to a point, man, I stopped going to church because I was really hurt by Christians. And I started to view God in the way that he was like that. And I found out later that that's not true at all. That Jesus Christ is good. That he's real. That he's not some hypocritical, self-righteous person that's constantly looking at everything bad in everybody else's life and then ignoring the things that he's done wrong. That he actually loves people. And he wants a relationship with them. And that'll change your life, man. I'm telling you. People know that salt tastes like salt, like I said earlier. They're familiar with how it affects the flavor of things. And Jesus is basically reaffirming our purpose in life in this passage. These are things that are going to be brought about in your life. And the reason that it doesn't make any sense for someone to say, how can someone say that they love Christ and then not love the world, is because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Jesus told us here, it doesn't make any sense. It's not real. If someone says that they love Christ but they hate their neighbor, then they need to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you're not being the salt of the world, then you're not accomplishing the purpose that God has for you. And the term good in this passage, and this is kind of crazy, comes from the Greek word, and it's translated is cool, is how it sounds. So basically, what it meant is that to be a force or to have strong power in the earth. And so what he's saying is, look, if you're not being the salt of the earth, you're not good for anything. You're not going to have any force for God on this earth. No one's going to see a difference in your life. No one's going to want Jesus because you're not being the salt of the earth. Now, on the other hand, think about what that means. That means if you are being the salt of the earth, then you're going to have strong power for God. That God is going to work in and through you. That people's lives are going to be changed. That people are going to be set free. That you're going to find people that are hurting and broken and in need of a Savior. And they're going to get saved. And they're going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Because we're being the salt of the earth. And that's good news, right?
Amen.
So I've got a question for you today. Have you had an encounter with Jesus Christ? Has there been a time when you placed your faith and trust in Him? And if so, are you being the salt of the earth? Do your coworkers see a difference in the way that you live your life from others around them? Is the love of God in your life so much that you love your friends and your family and you want to tell them about Jesus because of what He's done for you? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Are you looking for ways to serve them and reach out and love on them? How has God impacted your life and what are you doing about it? That's the question today. And it's so cool to see people, like I got here this morning, to come up and setting up and rolling out the chairs and the outreach events that you guys have planned, like the block party, because you're getting outside the walls and you're getting into the community and being salt and light. And that's awesome, man. That's what churches are supposed to do. One thing that's so cool about the stage that you guys are in now is no one can say that the church is just a building because you guys aren't meeting, you don't have your own building yet. So the church is the people, right? The people, the church is full of messed up, screwed up people who have fallen on their face time and time again, who have hurt people, who have wronged people, who have tried their best to keep it all together, but they're just jacked up, right? And that's you and me. But the cool thing is that we have a God that was perfect. We have a God that was worthy. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that empowers us to go. We have a God that uses simple, screwed up, messed up people to set people free. And that's who Jesus Christ is. And if you don't know Him today, He wants to set you free. And it's going to change your life if you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And that is good news. That's the gospel. That it's not about us. It's all about Him. And the Bible is full of stories of people that were not good enough, of murderers, of people that committed adultery, that this powerful God stepped in and changed their life. You know, you look at the New Testament. I mean, the majority of the New Testament is written by a guy who basically spent his life imprisoning and capturing Christians, right? Who tried to destroy the church. But then Jesus Christ came to Saul, who became Paul, and He met him on the road, and he basically changed the course and direction of his entire life. Because when you have an encounter with Jesus, it changes everything. And my wife and I mean, sometimes we watch TV. And there's a lot of junk on TV, right? But it was interesting this week that, you know, we saw and we heard about even more about this guy. There's the reality TV show Big Brother, where basically these people go in this house and they compete. It's kind of like Survivor, right? Where you compete to kind of win a prize. And there's people being voted out and doing all these things, having these different competitions. But there was a guy on there named Howard. And it was interesting to look at Howard because Howard was praying with people inside the house. Like people, these people were crying and broken. He was praying with people. He offered for people to pray with him. There was another scene, you saw Howard, he was actually sharing scripture with people inside the house. And he was telling them. And there was something very interesting, I mean, because it stands out, right? When you see somebody like that, it stands out. There's no way to really hide it. And it was interesting to hear what he said that really struck me. He said, "My relationship with God is not something personal that I just keep to myself. It's meant to be shared with others. And that's being salt and light. I mean, somebody in the house, I remember the girl said, he's like the rock of our house. Because he was being salt and light to these people and making them thirsty, right? It's good news. And if you're a Christian, you're on a mission from God. You've been set free from sin. You have the joy of Jesus in your life, and you need to get out and share it. I think a lot of times, as Christians, we like to isolate ourselves. We like to hang out with other Christians and just spend time with other Christians and, you know, kind of stay in our bubble. But Jesus went to hurting, broken people. He didn't stay inside the walls. He went and met people on their turf. And he looked for ways to serve them. He looked for ways to love on them. He looked for ways to share truth with them. He met physical and spiritual needs. Because our God is a God that comes after us. And he calls us to go out and love on people. Jesus didn't die for righteous people that had it all together, but he died for messed up, rotten sinners that needed a Savior. And that's good news, man. And I can tell you, man, you can be the most gifted person in the world. You can know the Bible from front to back. You can be able to speak eloquently and have all these talents. But if you never step out and share Jesus with your neighbor or friend or someone at work, you'll never see the way that God wants to use you in this life. And God wants to use you for his glory. And there are people in your work that God has brought you to that place for the purpose of sharing Jesus with them. There are neighbors down the street that God has brought that relationship together because he wants you to be Jesus Christ to those people, to love on them and to share Christ with them. So the question is, what are you doing to be salt and light in your community? What are you doing? And it's evident just from this passage that we're called to make people thirsty for Jesus and shine the light on him. You know, it says here, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Salt makes people thirsty. And that's the way that we're supposed to live our lives. That people see the way that we live our lives and they're like, wow, you know, that's good. That's great. But I tell you what, when I have a bunch of salt, I've got to get a drink of water. Anybody else with me? You want some water when you have some salt. And that's our purpose, that we make people thirsty for Jesus by the way that we live our lives. And then we flash the light on the living water that the Bible says is Jesus Christ that can quench people's thirst. You know, people say that Gatorade is the thirst quencher. Jesus Christ is the thirst quencher. That he can quench your thirst. He can quench your longing. And he offers a relationship with the creator of the universe that God wants to walk with sinful, messed up people and set them free so that you can walk in freedom and live life for real. And that's what God wants to do for you. And that's what he wants to use you to do for other people. And I was thinking through my life about people that I've encountered that are making people thirsty. And I thought about my buddy, Charlie Sims. It's crazy, man. This guy, the first authentic Christian I ever knew, shared Christ, invited me to his youth group. I ended up getting saved, changed the whole course of my life. I never thought that I would be a preacher. I never thought I wanted anything to do with church. But that's the way God changes things. And now he owns a CrossFit gym. And he's literally sharing Christ with like 60, 70 people a year. He's having Bible studies with people that have never read the Bible before because he's being salt and light. And people see the genuineness in him and the fact that he's real, that they don't have to put up a front, that they can be themselves. And God's setting people free through his gym. How cool is that? And then I heard of another guy. I was up in Aurora, Illinois, at another church plant. And there's a tattoo artist in that area that basically God opened his eyes. He got saved, and God opened his eyes to this whole industry of sex trafficking. And he actually does tattoo cover-ups and removals for former gang members and victims of sex trafficking. And he shares the hope and love of Christ with people that are bruised and broken and hurting, feel like they've lost all their value. And God is setting people free through that ministry. And then the last person I was thinking of was one of my close friends. And we went to college together. We actually went to seminary together. And God burdened his heart with the need for church planting. And he pastored different churches, and he talked to me about it over the years. And God just continued to burden on his heart this need to plant an outward-focused, non-traditional church that would reach people, that would be in the community, that would love on people where they're at, that would get outside the church walls and go to people and meet needs physically and meet needs spiritually, that it would be a church full of ministers that raised up and got outside the walls and went to hurting, broken people and was the salt and the light of Christ. And this past year, my buddy, Kenny Rager, planted Life Community Church. And there were people that have been saved and people that have been set free. And it's a church that is about being in the community and being salt and being light and loving people where they're at. And I ask you today, who has God brought into your life that you need to share Jesus Christ with? Will you be salt and light? Will you step outside of your comfort zone? Will you allow Jesus to use you? It's not about us. I'm messed up. I shouldn't even be preaching up here. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's through God's grace and his power. It's not about me. If God wanted to, I mean, he could use anybody. You know, he could talk through this stand right here. It's about him. And God wants to use this church to be salt and light, to reach out to this community and to let people know that they can be set free, that God loves them, that he cares about them, and he wants a relationship with them. And that's the good news of the gospel, man. We can be real. We can be transparent. No fronts. God loves us exactly how we are, and he wants to set us free. So each of us has a choice today. We can choose to live our lives focused on ourselves, right? We can. We can choose to be to make Christianity all about us, all about our needs, our wants. What can God do for us? You know, I want the music a certain way. I want this a certain way. I want the preaching a certain way, or I'm not going to be happy. And small groups have to be like this. Or we can choose to live life on purpose for God and on mission. And if this church gets serious about reaching people for Jesus, you're going to experience God in a way that you never thought possible. Because God is going to do things in and through your life that you never could have done yourself, because he's that good and he's that powerful. And I think God is calling today for some leaders to stand up and to rise up in Life Community and say, I'm going to be salt and light. I'm going to go to my friends. I'm going to go to my family. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to let God use me for his glory. And God's going to do some powerful stuff here. Are you making people thirsty for God? Do people see your life and say, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. They're exactly like everybody else. I've seen religious people all the time. I don't want anything to do with that. Or do people see your life and say, man, there is something different about them. I got to find out what's going on there. God wants to use you, each and every one of us, for his glory. Will you be used? And as I close today, I'm going to have Steve come. And we're just going to open it up, man, for a time of invitation, a time of prayer. Sorry. And today, basically, the gospel is this, man. God is perfect, He's perfect in every way. He's never made a mistake. We're not. We're messed up. A holy God has to punish sin, or else he's not perfect. He's not a perfect judge. But the cool thing is that God sent Jesus Christ, that God became a man, that he lived a life that we couldn't live, that he died on a cross, that he rose from the dead, resurrected, paid our punishment, and we can be set free by putting our faith and trust in him. And if you've never made that decision in your life, I offer you today to come. I'd be happy to pray with you. If you're here today, man, and you're hurting, you've got some other thing that's going on in your life, and you just need prayer, I'm here to pray with you. There's people in this church that'll pray with you. Just don't leave this place, man, without letting God work in and through you. If you have questions, if you want to talk, happy to talk with you. But allow God to work and move in your life. Be salt and light. And we'll pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for Life Community Church. I thank you, Lord, that you put this burden on Kenny's heart, God, to raise up a church full of ministers, God, that would be outward focused. God, I thank you for creating a church, God, that's about ministry. And I pray for each person here, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work. God, that you would draw people to yourself, Lord, that people would just experience conviction where they need to, God, and that people would get set free in this place. And God, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray that you would continue to make it salt and light, God, and that people would come here and experience who you truly are. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, God, for using us, and pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. As we open up the altar, you guys can feel free to come.